Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, baby. Here is Payne and Pendergast. No substitutes. Mitchell in for Ben today. That's the one substitute. Mitchell's producing today. We appreciate that. Seth, ask and ye shall receive. You said you recommended Earl Mitchell as, of North Shore. If they're ever looking for an alum to come by and chat up the kids, talk about being an NFL football player. Earl came by North Shore Friday morning to donate cleats to some kids. That's what he does. Hey, can you turn Seth up, Mitchell, please? Thank you.
Yeah, I figured that he probably already hung out with him and everything, so I didn't. It wasn't like a revolutionary idea by me. So good job, Earl Mitchell.
Yeah, good job.
The high school football players and how it translates into college football. I feel like it's a good time to talk about Arch Manning, and as we said on Friday, it was weird that a guy was 73. Pass attempts. 93 passes. Sorry, I didn't mean to short shrift him.
Yeah,
has been lauded as the number one overall pick whenever he decides to lower himself and enter the NFL draft or what have you. It's just weird because this team, the Houston Texans alone, have in recent years seen three former number one overall recruits at quarterback. Jeff Driscoll, Kyle Allen, Davis Mills. They've all been on the Texans.
They were all on the team at the same time. They had three.
It was not foretelling greatness for them that they were the former number one recruit out of high school. Yep. So it was just really, really weird. And I would defer to guys like Orlovsky and all these other people. They were calling him a generational talent. And I didn't quite get or understand what they were basing it on. So you'll excuse me. This is what I don't need. I don't need the people who were crowning him before he ever started a game to then say, hey, hold on, everybody. It's not fair to rush to judgment on one bad performance.
Correct.
Hey, just wait a second. Because the fact of the matter is that's true. You shouldn't rush to judgment. But you're the bastards who are telling me he's the greatest thing this century.
Don't
spit in my face and tell me it's raining.
You and I were in lockstep on this one. We're not in lockstep on everything, but on this we were in lockstep, which is, what the hell is going on with them making him the number one overall pick in these mock drafts? What is going on with us debating if he's going to be the future of some NFL franchise? What is going on with us debating whether or not teams should tank for Arch Manning? And that's who I, as he was struggling, and I'm not rooting against Arch Manning at all, just to be very clear, but he struggled mightily in Columbus against Ohio State. No crime in that. He's not the first one, won't be the last to struggle in Columbus. But for what he was being touted as and portrayed as by so many people out there, he should not have struggled to the degree that he did. And by the way, it wasn't just one of these struggles, which I saw Orlovsky doing last night. Like, hey, he's fine. It's everybody else that's the issue right now.
It's the offense. They're calling a simplistic offense. Why do they have him in training wheels?
I saw someone making bad decisions. I saw someone who half his throws, he's just slinging it sidearm, flat-footed at guys.
Off his heels.
Off his heels, 90 miles an hour to a guy 4 feet away from him with no touch, no placement, or anything like that. Those are the people I was getting angry with as I was watching that game, or agitated with, because there were so many hosts, especially national ones, but there were others that I heard too. If you're a host in our industry who did even one segment talking about NFL teams tanking for Arch Manning, tanking as a topic is already a lazy topic in the NFL to me, because it just, at a player level, it just doesn't happen. Owners and front offices may put lesser teams out there because they're in a rebuild mode, but tanking as a concept, top to bottom in an organization, is a lazy topic. Put that aside. If you are somebody who talked about an NFL team tanking for Arch Manning, or if you're one of these people that bought into that story like a month ago where Jimmy Haslam is friends with Peyton Manning, so there's this master plan to engineer Arch Manning, which, by the way, would involve Jimmy Haslam's team intentionally losing 15 games in a given season, which they're not going to do, you should be embarrassed. You should honestly, if you're a radio host, and I say all the time, we're not paid to be right, and it's true, and I'm wrong a lot. This is just, if you were engaging in NFL teams should tank for a guy who threw 93 passes just because his last name is Manning, you should be embarrassed today. You should be embarrassed. There you go.
He shares like maybe a quarter of the DNA of Peyton and Eli, and we don't know which percentage of that DNA is even related to football.
No,
a lot of it seems to have been spent on moppy haircuts and goofy facial expressions from Eli. Yeah. So I think he got more Eli. He got more Eli than Peyton, didn't he? He got more of the Eli DNA than Peyton.
There was a lot of that. There was a lot of that on social media. So yeah. Like, all right, we know which uncle he rolls up to.
So you just flat out don't know. You just flat out don't know exactly what he is, who he is, what he's going to be. And I think I 100% agree with saying, yeah, it's 1 week into it. You're going to go this Matt Patricia defense that throws a lot of wrinkles and stuff that a lot of college defenses don't do, and he's not going to see all of that necessarily. You know, and not to mention the fact that Matt Patricia is a different defensive coordinator than Jim Knowles, so it's a completely new defense.
Yes.
Aside from the complexity of it, it's just a completely new defense from anything they would have watched on film. So maybe he was a little frazzled, whatever it might be. But yeah, I don't need the people who were just pulling a Spencer Rattler 2.0. Remember when Spencer Rattler was going to be the number one overall pick in the draft?
I do.
Yeah. That all of a sudden, you know, 3 hours later, 4 hours later, they have to tell you, after proclaiming greatness and putting him on the pedestal, saying, well, hold on a second, it's not fair.
Right.
It's not fair to rush to judgment. You rush to judgment based on almost nothing at all. Low pressure situation. He had a good body of work in low pressure situations. Don't try to tell me that this does it, but we have to take the bad performance with a grain of salt, but the good performances from last year are all you need to know.
Amen. Yeah, that was that was the biggest takeaway for me from the weekend is Arch Manning's got a lot of work to do. I know it's Ohio State, I know it's in Columbus. There was a lot There's a lot in that performance to tell me, like, he is far from a finished product, man.
That stuff, in some of the throws where he wasn't setting his feet, okay, he's reading a mesh concept, this, that, the other. Like, you don't always – he doesn't look good when he doesn't set his feet. You know, if you look at – there's other guys that actually look pretty good when they don't set their feet in college. And you think, okay, they have to clean that up a little bit. But, like, he doesn't even look good in – you know, in college when he throws without it. Like Bo Nix would be a good example of a guy that, man, in college he was just, his footwork was all over the place, but he's getting the job done and it looks all right.
Yeah.
Arch looks like Peyton trying to run.
Yeah.
Arch trying to throw sidearm or not off of a good platform looks like Peyton when he tries to run.
Arch looked like Auburn Bo Nix. I thought of Bo Nix too watching that, but the Auburn version, not the Oregon one that got him drafted in the first round. Like at Auburn, Bo Nix was very raw at Auburn. Arch Manning looked raw. He did, and my favorite part of the weekend with Arch Manning, Seth, was all the videos surfacing from him in high school playing against kids that look like me. You know, like play like 5'8" defensive linemen who are winded,
yeah,
just
was
chasing
he in
around.
Some like wimpy little private school league or something.
He played for the same high school Peyton did and Eli did in New Orleans. I forget the name of it. It was.
Did they even play against public schools at all, or is it all just like
not these in the videos I saw?
High-priced feel-gooderies. I don't know.
I know what the public schools in New Orleans football looks like, and it was not what they were playing.
It was okay.
It was not. So that was the big takeaway. Arch Manning didn't look good, and Texas, you know, 14-7. You had three teams in the top six all lost this weekend. Texas ups. I say upset. Ohio State was a 1.5-point favorite. They were ranked lower than the Longhorns. Clemson lost to LSU at home, and big win for Brian Kelly. LSU 1-0 for the first time since 2019. They hadn't won their opener since before COVID. The last time they won their opener, Derek Stingley Jr. was a freshman All-American cornerback on their team. That's how long ago it was.
So that was good for LSU. Yep. Alabama continues to not look like the Nick Saban-led Alabama squad.
Okay, let me run something by you here. So Kalen DeBoer is screwed. He's the coach at Alabama. He's now lost four games to unranked teams in his first 14 games as the Alabama head coach. Saban had four in his entire 17 seasons at Alabama, and three of those were in his first season. So from 2008 through the year that Saban retired, which I think was 2023, for 16 seasons, Nick Saban lost one game to an unranked team. That was to A&M in 2021, or whatever year the A&M beat them recently. Kalen DeBoer's lost four in the last 12 months?
The biggest thing, and the scuttlebutt from the fan base and just things that you can see visibly, are some of the lack of discipline compared to what a Nick Saban led team does. And there's all kinds of, I know the, one of the things making the rounds on the message boards and whatever this weekend were that, man, even at the team hotel, guys aren't, there's no, it doesn't seem to be a curfew or anything like that. And then, but then you've got the penalties. Last year they had 15 against Tennessee, and it was just not, it was, it's, it, it hasn't discipline. Been a disciplined program.
Yeah.
And I, this is where, when you hear that the head coach is taking measures to increase the discipline, no, that's a dude. If you're not a tough disciplined coach, then all of a sudden you try to act like the tough disciplined coach. Good luck with that. That's why you always come in hard and then soften up.
Yep.
Any substitute teachers listening right now know that. Yep. You gotta come in hard at the beginning and then you soften up over time.
That's right.
It never works in reverse.
No.
It never. Yeah. That's the old saying. If a king is iron fisted but then shows a human side, people will love him for it. If he comes in being soft and then tries to toughen up, he'll get decapitated.
Yes.
They look like a crazy person.
Kalen DeBoer stepping onto the guillotine. Yeah, he's toast, man.
So the big question is, okay, D'Amico Ryan's name all of a sudden starts popping up the place this weekend. I did not like this.
My son James texted me. I wake up to this text on Saturday morning. He texted me Sunday morning, Saturday night, whatever. He texts me if we should be worried about D'Amico Ryan's getting offered the Alabama job. I said we do not need to worry about this, and I said here are the reasons. You tell me if I'm off base or on base on this. D'Amico Ryan's is not a struggling NFL head coach. He's a good NFL head coach with a trajectory that's going upward. Going to college, the pro guys you see going to college are guys who are struggling at the pro level, and they're going back a level knowing that they're probably going to be better than most of these guys they're coaching against.
Usually, like Matt Patricia, for instance, or whatever, as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Unless it's a guy that's already, you know, like Urban Meyer
he wasn't a good NFL head coach. Yeah.
Right, right, yeah.
That's my point. And D'Amico is a good NFL head coach, not a bad NFL head coach. D'Amico's wife's family is from Houston.
Yeah, and D'Amico is the rare instance of an NFL head coach who very much wanted to go to Houston specifically for that reason, the fact that his family's here, but that also this is where he was drafted, all of that. And it's one of the things that I love about having D'Amico is it's very, very rare to have an NFL head coach who actually really cares about the city or the team that he's coaching.
That's
100%. If the Texans were struggling, if he hated the GM or something, didn't trust ownership, then even as the team's on an upward trajectory, I could perhaps see it. But none of that is in place. None of the things that typically drive an NFL coach to leave his job are in place right now. I guess the only thing would be is if somehow the alumni at Alabama just, you know, somehow found a way to pony up $20 million a year for him.
And that's my third reason. If push comes to shove, I know I'm spending somebody else's money, Cal will outbid the toothless Alabama collective. I have confidence in him. I've got confidence in the McNairs.
I'll give you a fourth one, too. It's that D'Amico wasn't there for the Saban run. And Saban got hired the year after D'Amico left Alabama.
Yeah, he was there for sure.
It wasn't the golden era of Alabama football. So whatever memories that some Alabama alum might have from the last 20 years, D'Amico does not share that same memory database.
This would be kind of fun. You know, Miami went through this phase where, you know, you had all the guys from the U back in the 80s, like Michael Irvin. And then you had all the guys from Andre Johnson's era in the early 2000s. I mean, two of the greatest eras of college football at any one university. And then they've gone through this last 20 years or so where it almost feels like there's this divide between the good Miami alum and the guys who played on the crappy Miami teams.
Yeah.
And they just don't get acknowledged by the guys who were on the good teams. If Alabama started to go through something like that, you know, where Will Anderson thumbs his nose at some of the guys on the current team, you know, all these guys from recent Alabama, where there's just this divide with Alabama, I would be here for that. That would be fun.
I wonder if Will Anderson ever talks any smack to D'Amico about that. Like, yeah, no, we don't acknowledge you, D'Amico.
Yeah.
You're not one of the real ones.
No. We weren't playing in December bowl games, D'Amico. We were January 1 and later. A few more people weighing in. I'm not working. We ask that you guys, if you're up and listening on a holiday, text in. Keep us company. Not working, but we have 9 dogs, 10 cats, and a mess of chickens. Our insanity doesn't respect holidays.
Oh, my gosh.
God, that sounds like a David Allen Coe song right there.
How many? 9 dogs and how many cats?
9 dogs, 10 cats, and a mess of chickens.
There's somebody who either that person or their spouse has a huge, huge heart, I'm guessing, yeah, and just cannot turn down a rescue animal.
And I'm guessing
Good for you.
Guessing you live on acreage. I hope so. I hope you don't live in some house.
Well, yeah, especially with the chickens.
Yeah, with the chickens. On my way to work, coaching high school at Pearland Dawson. That's from B-Dub. Yeah, the coaches are up early. Football doesn't sleep, man. Headed to work at Lowe's. Retail never stops. NFL business partner Lowe's. That's from RJ. Good job. You know what? Lowe's is going to be happy you did that.
Labor Day sales. That's right. This is the worst week of the year for me because this is when I remember or I'm reminded of all the times that I've told my wife that let's wait for a Labor Day sale. Let's wait for a Labor Day sale.
Today is that day.
Apparently somebody was keeping records on their iPhone Notes app. Yeah.
Guess what you're doing
all
today.
Of a sudden I'm sharing a note on my phone, I realized this morning.
Yeah, you're shopping today, buddy. My day at work started at 6 a.m. with Payne and Pendergast. I'm doing the Lord's work. I work as an assistant manager at a gas station, making sure everyone can get their smokes, lotto, and beer. Hell yeah.
Oh, good, good, good.
You are doing the Lord's work, man. What will we do without our tobacco, our gambling, and our alcohol? I don't know.
You know what I've found? I've become loyal to convenience stores more than I ever had in my life because of the apps now. Because there's so many savings and deals, Sean.
Oh, like loyal to like specific brands of convenience stores.
Like I'm a 7-Eleven member, so I like now I'm actively seeking out 7-Elevens because they have an incredible deal on the nicotine patches, which I'm desperately trying to quit, and yet or the nicotine pouches.
That's not gonna help. Yeah.
No, it doesn't help at all. I was like, I can't stop now. I'd be losing money for the deals I'm, the savings I'm getting on my nicotine pouches.
Do you feel those nicotine pouches make you a better radio host?
I think they did for about 2 months until I formed a tolerance for them. And now I'm like anybody that has any kind of a nicotine addiction where I need them to get to normal.
You need more. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. And I don't need more. I just need the certain amount to keep me at normal.
Okay.
So yeah, don't do them. Don't do them, kids. I don't care what any other influencer is telling you on their podcast.
I hope sales comes to you today, even though they're not laboring today.
I've turned it down already.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I try not to do anything. I'm careful. I try to be careful about the things that I endorse when it comes to putting things in your body.
Gotcha. I'm up. Truck driver on my way to Mississippi listening on the Odyssey app. Shout out to the truck drivers, man. They're with us every day. We appreciate that. All right, we'll keep checking in with you guys who are listening to us this morning. Hey, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Headlines are up next.